A primary means by which we can glorify God is to do what? To do His will, which would include praying, but in some other things. And so a number of passages tell us to pray about God's will. Pray for yourself, pray for others, pray for the church. And so Hebrews 13, verses 20 and 21, we got that started last Wednesday, and then we looked at it Sunday night, and we'll, I don't know if we'll finish it up tonight, but we'll see how far we go. So let me read these, and then we'll pray, and you can remain seated. Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus. Let me ask you a question as I read verse 20. Think about what the point was here. So now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. And then it says, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Before you answer that question, let's pray and then we'll start. Father, thank you again for your word. Thank you that it does guide us. It does give us direction. And that by your Holy Spirit, you apply it to our lives. And Lord, you illuminate our minds and open our hearts. And we pray that you do that tonight. Thank you again for this time in Christ's name. Amen. So two elements to consider as you pray for God's will to be done. And the way you build your faith for prayer, verse 20 is it was a dumb question, so I'm just going to tell you. So the first one is focus. It is consider God. Because your faith is built by how you know God. And so we were talking about that, that as we get to know Him, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, because the Word of God tells us about the One who is. And so that's really the key. And so I thought about it on Sunday night, and I mentioned this, and I'll just mention it again, that through the Word of God, we learn what God can do, okay, through the doctrines, the truths. And by your fellowship with God, you can learn what God wants to do. Because sometimes we just think, okay, well, I know God can do it, but I'm not sure if He wants to do it for me. I'm not sure if He wants to do it here. And I think that's where, as we walk close to God, that He'll impress our hearts. That is what I want to do. And that is what I'm going to do. And it's truth. And so sometimes even when we don't feel like, we still, if it's in the Word, we can still pray about it. Like you say, well, I don't feel like praying for my lost loved one. Well, that's irrelevant. Really, you just need to pray for him. And as you pray for him, you'll learn to love that, really, that truth. And so two things here. We saw God working for us as the God of peace who brought up again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that victory over sin and death and hell. And so remember, as you're praying for people to do God's will, or praying for yourself, don't forget the resurrection power of Christ. Because that can apply so many places. And so that's why it is with the resurrection power when you pray for God to work for His people to do His will. And then the second part is God working with us. Speaking of, and we looked at on Sunday night, the shepherd of the sheep and how God wants to work with us. And through the blood of the everlasting covenant, He brought us into relationship with Him. And so that's really a key. And so think of His care, His promise, the covenant, all of that as you pray for God to work with His people to do His will. And that's how He works in us and through us. The second point, which we'll start verse 21, is make your prayer in faith with confidence in God. And so remember that the verse 21 begins with that verb. And so what is the noun? That goes back up to verse 20. It's all the truth about God. And really, God make you perfect in every work to do His will. And so number one, I put pray about the actions of God's will. Make you perfect to do His will. And so you're equipped by God's grace. So God's the one that makes you perfect. Obviously, that doesn't mean God's going to make you sinlessly perfect so you can do His will on earth as it does in heaven. That would be nice, but it doesn't quite work that way. And I think most of us know that. But it is speaking of well, let's just look at it. Several ways that word is used. So let's go back to chapter 11, verse 3. So we're looking, doing maybe it's not a full word study. The word's found 13 times, this word, make perfect. So chapter 11, verse 3. Maybe I should ask you to guess how the word's translated, that Greek word's translated here. It says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. What do you think? Make perfect. framed. Yeah, that's the same Greek word here. So as God was putting together the world and all its variety and majesty and all the things that he did, that he displays his power even after the fall, that it still does amazing things. But God frames it together. He builds it the way he wants to, so to accomplish what he wants done. And that's what we can say, that God's framing us. God's building us so we can accomplish his will in this world. Another one, go back to chapter 10, verse 5. Chapter 10, verse 5. And all this, I'll read it again. And this is, it's really a quotation. I can't remember what reference it is offhand. But it's quoting about Christ. And so wherefore, when Christ cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. What do you think it's in that word? Prepared, yeah. So the word prepared there, and so the body that Christ would inhabit was prepared for him. The implications there is interesting for the virgin birth, but in what's happening there in the womb of Mary. But anyway, it's just the idea of that this body would be exactly what the Christ, as we know as Jesus, as he was born, that would be able to fulfill God's will. And so God does the same thing for us. We're prepared both in birth, but all through life. You know what? You're being prepared for next week this week. And you were prepared 3 weeks ago for what's happening tomorrow. Or maybe a year ago. But God's always getting you ready to perform his will. You know, I think I've shared this before a number of times. In fact, one time I specifically remember I was in, I was preaching at the Hospitality House, which is like a rescue mission over in Wenatchee, and I was preaching, and I didn't even think about it till, maybe I did, maybe I had written down, I don't remember, but I gave an illustration about going somewhere and something happening. And it was, I don't think it was that day, it was within the next few days. And the whole scenario that I gave, and I elaborated on this illustration and how you'd be careful because you might fall, and I was in that, same situation, and I fell. And I thought, man, God told me 3 weeks ago, and he gave this illustration. It was right where I was going to, everything was there. And yeah, that was, so God's always preparing you to do his will, whether it's victory over sin or whether it's just accomplishing a task that he wants you to do. Just always remember that. So God is preparing us. He's framing us. He's preparing us. And then go back to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 21. Again, these are all uses of the word that not really has to do with, you know, I guess directly with spiritual things in our life. But again, another illustration of how this word is used. Matthew 4 verse 21. It says, going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. What do you think the word is in that? Mending. Yeah. So fishing nets don't do much good if they have holes in them. The fish tend to escape. Okay, so they were there. Anything that's faulty or broken, they're fixing it up, so it'll be usable, so it'll be workable. And so God obviously wants to mend us to make us useful for his service. And I think that's a very interesting thing. That's the same word that's used over in Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So that word mending is the same word restore. So we're to help each other when we stumble. But back to the idea of praying about God's will. I thought God wants to perfect us. To mend us, to fix us, I just thought even there's a sense of mending in the very salvation and sanctification. How many here are exactly like Christ? Ah, you faulty people. I'm there too. So we all need some mending and fixing, and so that's God's business, trying to as our, you know, in a sense, our good shepherd. He's working with us to make us more like himself, and so in doing that, he's getting us ready to do what? To do his will. And I thought this is a great application for us. You know, when we're praying that someone's sick and we want them to get on the mend, why? Think about what we're talking about here. Why do we want someone to be mended? If they're sick physically, if they're sick spiritually, if they're not doing too well mentally, whatever it happens to be, why do we want them better? To do God's will. And if we forget that, we're not praying like we should. You know what we're doing? We're so earthly minded, we're not thinking of heavenly good. Because we're just thinking, oh, help them get better. Why? Well, so they can run and jump and slip and slide. And what is it for? The same purpose for my life is their life. And when someone needs to be mended, however reason they need to be mended, that they need to be mended so they can do the will of God and glorify our Father which is in heaven. I'm rebuking myself because how short we come on our prayers. We think we're just, again, God, you're our genie. Help us get better so we can advance our cause and build our kingdom and so people will honor us. And we fail to think beyond that. So just a thought there. Lord, fix us so we can do your will. Make us perfect. Give us, and that word has the aspect of equipping us as well. And so, you know, help us to be equipped to do your will. So I thought, you know, we can be assured that God is working to that end in the old whole idea of sanctification. But though God is working that end, we still pray to that end. And I think that's how it often works. And I thought, you know, as we pray this, it means that individual needs to trust God to equip them. Okay, I'm a broken net. I need to get it fixed. Well, I can never talk to so-and-so. I can never really do that. God says, I want to equip you. And so as we pray for God to use them to do his will, Lord, you're the maker of perfect. Help them to trust you to do that. Help them to believe that. And I thought, you know, there's people in the Bible, and they did God's will. But how there's things if we think this way, it can hinder our usefulness. And I thought of John the Baptist. What did he say in the relationship with Christ? I'm not worthy. But man, he was powerful. God used him in a great way. I was thinking, what did Peter when he first met Jesus there on the boat and all the fish was caught? And you remember what Peter said? Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. But Peter was greatly used. I thought of Jeremiah the prophet. You know, he said, I'm just a child. And more or less he was saying, I'm so inexperienced, I can't do this. I've never done this before. This is all new. And yet God used all those people. And so I think there's a proper, I said, a humble self-evaluation is good. But don't let that weaken your confidence that God is willing and able to equip you to accomplish his will. So that's what we pray for. We pray for God's people, hey, that they'll trust you, that you will equip them. And the second thing, back in our text there in Hebrews 13 and verse 21, so make you perfect to do his will. That was point number one. Okay, so equip you by God's grace. And the second thing is that little phrase in between. So make you perfect in every good work to do his will. And so I just put the effort by God's people. So in every good work to do his will. So God's saying, hey, those good things of God's will sometimes take work. It takes effort. So that's the concept. Lord, you know, God will not, you know, my statement, God will not do for you what he wants to do through you, but he'll not work through you unless you're willing to work. If you're not willing to work, then he can't accomplish his will through you because you're like a slug. You know, just worthy of getting squished on the sidewalk. Or I think it was Krista. I'm not sure. It may have been one of the other ones. Then when we first told him, hey, you can just put a little salt on him, it'll kill him. So I remember going out there and there's this big pile of salt on top of it. Maybe my wife did. I don't remember. I just remember going outside, and man, it had no life. It was just a pile of salt. I was saying, wow, there's it was. I think their last name was that slug was married to Lot or something. I'm not sure. It turned into a pillar. Anyway, so let me go on. Let's just sidetrack. So God says, hey, I want to use you, but you got to put some effort. You got to move forward. And so a good illustration of that is Joshua 1. So jump back to Joshua 1 here. And we'll just, this will probably be the only point I'll make here tonight, but we'll see. God wants to equip you by his grace, but you got to have some effort from God's people. So God equips his people for his will when his people move forward. So just remember that God, it's like all the equipment's there, but I remember when we went ziplining one time. And they go up there and they put, you know, they strap you all in and they get all these straps around you and everything. I mean, you could have all of that equipment there, but you'd never get up on the zip line if you didn't put that on. You got to be equipped. And God says, I want to equip you, but you got to move forward. So Joshua 1, let's just look at the first 9 verses here in that first chapter. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. I just think that's interesting that God says, okay, the one who I used for all these years is gone. And so he's telling that to Joshua. He says, now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land that I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. So all of a sudden, Joshua's got this gigantic, I'm not going to say weight, but it was. I mean, he was helping Moses. He was a minister to Moses, it says, and so he was always helping him, but now it was, Moses was gone. I never forget, there was a man in our church over there, and he said that he'd always looked at to his dad for answers, for directions, and he said, even when I was 40, I was still, if I had a spiritual need, I called my dad, and he always had an answer. And he says, when my dad died, all of a sudden I realized, I got to trust God. I mean, that's what his dad was telling him all the time. But he always had someone to go to who could speak this thing, you know, really clearly. You know, well, this is what you do. And he said at that point, and that's sort of where Joshua, all of a sudden, you know, Moses was gone. And God said, I want you. I want to use you. So what was, so far, and just looking at verse number 2, what does God say he will do? He said, I will do. What does God say? Yeah, I'm going to give you the land. That's my promise. Okay, so God's stating what he will do. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you as I said unto Moses. So it's interesting that God says, okay, I promised this to Moses. Now, all these promises I've given to Moses, now I'm giving them to you. They're yours. I've promised these things to you. Trust me. Trust me. And then he goes on, from the wilderness, tells how big it is from the wilderness, and this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. And so God's just making it very clear. I'm applying these promises to you and really, and to this new generation. So I want to give that to you. And then verse 5, therefore shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. There are some mountains in the way, Joshua, but once you know, I'm going to take them out. There are some trees that I'm going to allow you to cast into the sea, if you'll trust me. See, these are the monuments that Jesus said, hey, if you believe that mountain, say, cast and see, it will. He's not just talking about any mountain, say, well, I'm going to show this, you move. That's not the idea. There is problems in ministry. You cannot accomplish my will unless this is out of the way. And God's saying, I want to promise you, Joshua, I want to promise you. And notice that it's interesting that it's in verse number 5, it gets very personal. It goes from back up in verse 3, you know, you and the people. And then verse 5, it says, therefore shall not any man stand before who? Thee. All the days of thy life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And so those promises, those truths got very personal with Joshua. Joshua, I'm God, and I'm telling you, I'm there. So he's given all these promises, telling all these things that he's going to do. Then he comes to verse 6. So Joshua, here's what you need to do. Be strong and of a good courage. I've given you assurances. I've given you promises. Now here's what I want on your side. Be strong. I put it down this way. My will for you is to divide the land. In fact, let me read the rest of verse 6. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Let me ask you a question based on that. When do you divide the land for an inheritance? Yeah, after you conquered it. So he's telling you, man, we're going in there. I'm giving it to you. We will take it out. Every place that your foot stands or walks upon, I'm going to give it to you. It's going to be yours. But here's what you need to do. Be strong and of a good courage. You got to move, Joshua, or this is not going to happen. And so I put it down this way. My will for you, as if God's talking, to divide this land, and I will use you to do it, but you must move forward. And then verse number 7 and 8, he continues the same line of thinking. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou may observe. Now he's speaking, be strong and courageous to obey what I've told you in the word. Thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from the right, or turn not from it to the right or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have a good success. So he says, hey, here's part of the battle plan. I want you to obey me. Just follow whatever I've said in my word. And then he comes in verse 9 again. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. So God gives promises, assurances, wrote down a few other things, commands, instructions, hopes. And he said, that's what I'm going to give you, but you got to put some effort into it. If you just sit around and say, God's going to do it, nothing's going to happen. God says, you got to move forward with what I've asked you. And Joshua did. And God equipped him. God gave him all he needed to win the victory. God kept his promises, defeated the enemy, and used Joshua to accomplish his will. Because Joshua said, I'm going to do it. Go over to chapter 24 just a moment. Or 23, I'm sorry. 23:14. So after all of those things, Joshua obviously moved forward. And notice what he said. These are some of his closing words. Verse 14 of chapter 23. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord thy God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing has failed thereof. Why did that happen? Because Joshua said, hey, we're going to do it. We're going to do it. And we're going to move forward. And as he moved forward, God strengthened him, God guided him, God directed him. So I wrote down this way. So as you pray for God's will, for yourself or for others, ask God to do what he said, to equip his people. And then ask God to move in people's hearts so they'll put the effort in so God can equip them. Because that's what God equips us for, is to do his will. So I think God wants to display his, I'm going to call it his equipping power through us and in us. But he's waiting for us to put in some effort. So whatever it is that God is working there, I think you and I can pray with confidence that God will do that if we will do our part, or if who you're praying for will do their part. So we'll just stop there and give that some thought as we close out here tonight. Father, thank you for your goodness and grace. And Lord, as we are to pray for your will to be done, so that you are glorified in this earth. Father, I do pray that you would help us to not only pray these things for ourselves, but pray these things for one another and for our church as a whole. Lord, that we would understand that you have promised to equip your people. You will mend us, you will fix us, you will frame us. Lord, you will prepare us for the task of getting your will done. And Father, you look at us and you say, as you did to Joshua, be strong and of a good courage. Just do what I've told you to do, and I will equip you. I will fight for you. I will fight through you. I will fight in you and with you, and I'll just be with you in all things. Father, give us faith to pray with confidence, and give us trust that when it's speaking of ourselves, Lord, that we would move forward to do your will. Lord, accomplish your will through us, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.